Good morning. Today's daf in Yuma Chav Beis. We are starting today the second parak of the Masechta. This is the parak of Dalet Paisos. It's less than a week's work of daf in the daf Yomi. It's a six blot of Gemara. But meanwhile, its main topic is going to be the lotteries that are done in the Beis Hamikdash in order to determine which of the Kohanim are going to be doing the Avoda. Curiously placed parak as this parak finds itself in Yuma. Yuma, obviously, a description of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen Gadol. And you've probably heard me say repeatedly in the first parak that the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim can only be done by the Kohen. So we're now going to be talking about the distribution of the work amongst the other Kohanim. So obviously that's a little bit strange. Are we talking about Yom Kippur? Are we talking about the rest of the year? So that part is that point is unclear. In fact, it's not only unclear, it's subject to a machlokas. So if you take a look back at the riff over here in the Gemara, so the riff, you probably noticed, cuts out the first seven parakim of Yuma. Okay, and he goes right to the eighth parak. So what's happening over there? So, as everyone here knows, but just to make it abundantly clear, so the Rif is really one of the first organizers of the Halacha. What he did is he took the Gemara and he consolidated the Gemara, consolidated down to the Halacha L'maisa. So a lot of the Shakla Vitari, the back and forth in the Gemara, so the Rif does away with. The Agadata also the Rif doesn't bring down. So he brings down the Halacha L'maisa. So of Yuma, so of the eight parakim of Yuma, so how much of it is halacha l'maisa for us? So unfortunately, only the last parak, the eighth parak, which has to do with the inuyim of Yom Kippur. So that's halacha l'maisa. So that's what the riff brings down in terms of the halacha l'maisa. So the riff only comments on the eighth parak of the eighth parak of the Masechta. Okay. With that stated, so we know that you have two basic mefarshim on the riff. You have the Baal Mor and you have the Mechamos. You have the Ramban. There are other commentaries on the Rif, but in terms of the earlier Rishonim, so you have these two. The Baal Mor is an early Rishon, and the Ramban also, 13th century. So anyway, so these are the main commentaries to the Rif. And what you're going to find typically is that they argue with one another. In other words, that's the Ramban writes in his introduction. That's basically what he's going to do. He's going to argue with the Baal Mor. Mechamas Hashem, he's fighting the battles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he's in defense of the Rif. So the Ramban, generally speaking, is going to be defending the Rif. Anyway, so back in the, it's the first daf of the Dape Arif, right? The Dape Arif starts on Daf Aleph. The Gemara starts on Daf Beis, or the Dape Arif starts on Daf Aleph. Okay. Anyway, so the Baal Mor writes over here, Vahavi Yodeh Ki Baalei HaKrovos, so those who write the Krovos. Okay, Krovos are basically what we call Piyutim, right? Anyway, it's described as a Krovos. Sheikhnisu Bipiyutim B'Seder Avodas Hayom Arba Paisos. So you know what the early Paitanim did. Now, if the Baal Mor is writing that these are the early Paitanim, so these are really early Paitanim, meaning the Baal Mor is commenting on it. So these piyutim must have existed in the Machzor already at the time of the right in the very least Rishonim, probably the Gaonim, probably earlier. So he writes that as far as these Paitanim are concerned, so they write in their Machzor Arba Paisos. They basically incorporate our Perek into the Avodas Yom Kippur, meaning that they assume that we're going to go through the lottery system, even on Yom Kippur as well. And Tau Kulan. And the Baal Mor over here, not shy, and not backing down. He says they all made a mistake. Every one of them. So Tau Kulma Mishra Asinu V'lo Heviduki HaPayasos HaChashuva Mishra Asinu L'Sharimos Hashana. All the lotteries that we're going to be talking about in the course of our parak, that's talking about the rest of the year. It's not talking about Yom Kippur. The Vehem, I'm sorry, L'shar Yom HaShana, Haim. V'lo b'Yom HaKippurim, l'fisha kol avodas ha-yomenu k'shera l'b'Kohen Gadol. As far as the avodas Yom HaKippurim concerned, so it's only with the Kohen Gadol. It's with no other Kohen, and seemingly, according to the Baal Mor, every one of the avodas that were done by the, that was done through lottery, including the Trumas HaDeshen, which is going to be the first lottery, which is what we're going to be covering this morning. So that was done by the Kohen Gadol, was done by none other. Okay, good. So go back to what we discussed a couple of days ago in the Daf. The Rashi back on Daf Chaf, really the Gemara back on Daf Chaf, that says that that as far as the Trumas HaDeshen Yom Kippur, so it was an unusual time. Typically, the Trumas HaDeshen was done pre-dawn, immediately prior to dawn, right? That's the Kriyas HaGever, and the Gemara says that on Yontev it was backed up really early, like sometime in the late evening, like 10, 11 o'clock at night. On Yom Kippur it was backed up to Chatzos. Now, why was it backed up to Chatzos? So hopefully you remember the Gemara we just did a couple days ago. So the Gemara says because of Chulsha de Kohen Gadol, because of the weakness of the Kohen Gadol, he's up all night. Now what does that mean? So it could mean, and that's what Rashi says, is that he's up all night, he's got to do the Trumas HaDeshen, And so therefore, basically, it'll give him a little bit of time to breathe. After he does the Shumas Hadeshen, he'll come back, he'll catch his breath in order to do all the other avodas, which will be, obviously, later, much later that morning. That's the, Tosus over there writes that, Tosus goes back and forth on that. Tosus is the very bottom on Chafam Adays, so Tosus goes back and forth on what does Chol Shud the Kohen Gadol mean. But incorporated in Tosus is the idea that, you know what, it could be that other Kohanim are going to be doing the Trumas Hadeshen. So that debate between Rashi and Tosus that we saw back on Dav Chaf, so the Baal Mor says very clearly that the Trumas Hadeshen is done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and by no other Kohanim, as is all Avodas on Yom Kippur done by the Kohen Gadol. Okay, good. Now, what I'm not going to do right now is that if you take a look at the Mechama, so right there on the first half of the Dap Arif, so the Mechama says it can't be. Can't be the Baal Mor is right, and one of those, he argues with the Baal Mor, he says that, no, the Paitanim got it right. It's the Dal Paisus is done even on Yom Kippur. Okay, anyway. So it's a major debate as we discussed a couple days ago, but today's a good day to discuss it as well as we're embarking on the second parak of Yuma. It's a major debate in terms of whether or not the Kohen Gadol is going to be doing the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Baal Mor says he's going to be doing it. Sounds like from Rashi also he's going to be doing it, and the other Rishonim argue on this very point. Okay, with that stated, so good. So now let's start. We are here in the beginning of the second parak of Yuma and Dal Paisos, and we're going to be talking about the four lotteries that were taken. And the first lottery is going to be for the first avoda of the day, notably the Trumas Hadeshen. The Mishnah starts off, Rishonah called Misha Rotze, Litrum Es HaMizbech Torim. So originally, anyone who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen may do so. Now, when we say anybody, keep in mind, it was not that random. There was a system. We've gone over this numerous times. So you had the Mishmaros that came and worked their week in the base of Mikdash. And even within the Mishmar, it was subdivided into the Bati Avos. So each one of the base Av had a day. So it's not like we had an entire pool of Kohanim to choose from, but within the Mishmar, within the base Av, okay, but there still were a lot of Kohanim. The Trumas Hadeshen is only done by one Kohen. Which one of the Kohanim are going to do it? So the Mishnah says that originally. So you know what? Whoever wanted to, meaning up for grabs. So Misha wrote the litrum as a mizbech torim of his manshei and merubim. Now, what happens if more than one person comes out early that morning in order to do the Trumas Hadeshen? We're prior to dawn, so you need a real early riser. But let's say you had more than one a really early riser. So what do you do under those circumstances? Ratzim va'olim bekevish. And so what we did is erase up the ramp of the mizbech 32 amas at a serious incline. Okay, that's a good morning exercise. And whoever gets there to the top first, so he's going to be Zocha, and he's going to win. Okay, so competition. So V'kola Kodem Es Chavero Ba'arba Amo Zocha. So you get to the finish line. The finish line is the four Amos. Later this morning, we're going to help further pinpoint exactly where the finish line is and what the four Amos that the Mishnah is making reference to. But when you get to the finish line, so then whoever gets there first, obviously, is going to be the winner. V'ima Yushneim Shavim. Now, let's say it's a tie. So what happens in a tie? Hamamun Omer Lemitz Biu. So then what we're going to do is then everyone's going to stick out a finger and we're going to basically count. Come up with a random number, count between the two of them. Now, I said count between the two of them. From Rashi, you don't get that picture. From Rashi, the idea that you get is that once it's a tie, so basically we're back to square one again. Right? That's what Rashi writes. Rashi says, V'im ayushtem shavim, b'chnisa so, so ein echad mehem zocha litram, aval me'ata kulan ba'im. So from Rashi, it sounds like once it's a tie, so then we basically invite everybody. Right? A little bit unclear, by the way. We're really early in the morning, right? Not everybody's up. What are we going to do? We're going to wait for everyone to get up at that point in time? I'm not totally clear, but that's what Rashi writes. So I'm, hopefully faithfully reporting what Rashi's writing over here. But anyway, but the idea is that we're going to choose a random number, and then what we're going to do is that we're going to count between all the Kohanim, and then basically, we're just going to go around the circle and count based on fingers. Now, I say count based on fingers. Just hold that thought for a moment. So, hamamun omer lemitzbiu, mayin motzien, achas reshtam. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to take out one or two fingers. Vei motzien magodo, but they're not going to take out the thumb, b'mikdash. You don't take your thumb out in the mikdash. So, for a moment, let's talk about the counting process over here. And again, there's a lot of Rashi in which to work with. So I'll give you a picture of what the counting will look like according to Rashi. Now, the Gemara says they take out one or two fingers. Now, the way Rashi presents it, it's not that if you put out two fingers, you're going to be counted twice. It's not, as far as Rashi's understanding is concerned, that's not the case. You put out one finger, you put out two fingers, you're going to be counted just one time. So why put out one finger? Why put out two fingers? So it's hard to imagine, but some people have difficulty putting out one finger as opposed to two fingers. Okay, certain dexterity, dexterous acts, one person can do with their finger that another person can't. But putting out one as opposed to two, it's kind of hard to imagine. We're talking about Kohanim doing the Avodah and the Beis Hamikdash. If you figure they have that kind of dexterity, whatever the case is, Rashi says it doesn't matter if it's one or two. You simply count it. That's counted as one. And what we're going to do is that there's going to a random number selected. Rashi says it should be particularly large. So that way, in other words, if there are 10 Kohanim over there and you choose the number 10, that's not random. You know where it's going to land. So it's got to be a large number. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to go around the circle. And so then there will be a random selection of a Kohen. Rashi also notes, by the way, Hatzbiu, or the beginning of the Rashi, they're going to be standing in a circle. You take the mitznefes off one of them. There's going to be a tosis later on talking about the hat of the Kohen as opposed to the Kohen Gadol. Anyway, so now, obviously, wherever the count lands on, so that's going to be the winner of today's pious for the Trumas Edeshin. Choose a large number, like I described, right? 100 or 60, much more than the number of people that are there. Now, the Kohen took off his hat, you start with him. Okay. Also, a little bit strange, by the way, because who's the one taking off their hat? That also seems to be random, but okay, that's fine. In other words, it's part of the random selection is that we're randomly taking off a hat of one of the Kohanim. Okay, anyway, that's Rashi's description over here. As far as not taking out the thumb, so Rashi over here says, and again, we're going to see it later in the Gemara as well, but as long as Rashi brings it up over here, so why not the thumb? Meaning if anyway you're putting out one or two fingers, you're going to be counted one time. So if you put out your thumb, so why is that going to make a difference? So Rashi points out over here because since the thumb is so far away from the other fingers, so what could happen is that when you put out your thumb, so it could be viewed, right? The Kohen there is counting quickly, could be viewed as somebody else's hand and somebody else's thumb. And what you would do if you were slightly disingenuous is that you would put out your thumb, right? Giving the perception that it's somebody else's thumb, and that would also be counted. Now, in the event that you see that the count is coming close to either you or somebody else, and you want to manipulate the count, you don't have a lot of room for manipulation. You know, you can add one more by sticking out your thumb, but you could manipulate the count if you stuck out your thumb, and that's why, says Rashi, the Mishnah tells us that the Kohen's not allowed to stick out his thumb, so hopefully to avoid any kind of manipulation and any kind of cheating. Okay, that is all but a brief description of the counting, and again, all as per Rashi. Okay, Rashi is not a singular voice in terms of how the counting looked like, but again, as far as the daf is concerned, so I'll present it like Rashi. Going back to the Mishnah, picking it up right where we left off in the Mishnah. Ma'aser shayushem, shavim. So this is a story that you probably heard, and there are different versions of the story, but we get this version in the Mishnah. So the two of them were basically neck and neck going to the finish line, up the ramp, in order to do the Trumas Adeshin. V'ratzim v'olim b'kevish v'dachaf echad mehen eschavero. And so then one of them pushed his friend off. Okay. Now, it's not okay, by the way, because that's a serious drop to the bottom. Right? By the time you're at the top of the ramp, so you are at maximum 9 amos from the ground, right? As you're inclining upwards, you're 9 amos from the ground. 9 amos from the ground could be something like 18 feet. That's an 18 foot drop down to really hard stone. Okay. Now his leg broke. Now they saw that, okay, competition is wonderful, but obviously this is getting dangerous over here. So he's kinish lo yitramim as a mizbech el the pious. So now, from that point going forward, they started right with the lottery. So in other words, a tikkun gadol on the Beis HaMikdash, where originally it was done by race, but then when they saw that it got dangerous, so then they moved everything over to the lottery. And then the Mishnah concludes, arba paisos hayusham v'zeh pais harishon. There were 4 lotteries in total, and this being the first of the 4 lotteries. So over the course of this perek, right, we got a wonderful introduction to the Mishnah in terms of how we got to the first lottery. But then over the course of the perek, next time we see a Mishnah, which won't be for a little bit, got a lot of Gemara coming up, So, but by the time we get to the next Mishnah, so we're going to be up to the second lottery. Okay. So, so a lottery system in terms of determining which of the Kohanim are going to be doing the Avoda, specifically the Trumas HaDeshen. So, HaMikara, we start with the Gemara right away. VaHaMikara, my time lo takinu la Rabbanan Paisa. You know, originally the Chachamim didn't start with lottery, meaning the lottery was only because somebody broke a leg. So, obviously, the Chachamim felt that it would have been better had we done it without a lottery. What was the thought process? So for the first half of today's Gemara, we're going to go through what the Chachamim thought process was in terms of why should we start off with a race and why then do we, well, we know why we moved to lottery, but why do we start with a race? So Mi'ikara Sever came in the Avos Lailahu Lo Chashivaluhu. So basically they thought as follows. Look, the Kohanim, so they have in their head they basically triage the Avoda, meaning which Avodas are important and which Avodas are like, eh. So in their heads, the Trumas HaDeshen, eh. Aside from the fact that all they're doing is going up to the Mizbech and taking shovelful of ash, which basically it's cleanup duty. Aside from that, but the Gemara says more saliently, it's at night. And you know Avodas. Avodas are done during the day. Avodas not done at night. You can't shecht a carbon at night. You only shecht a carbon during the day. There is no Avoda that's done at night. So with that thought process, they're thinking to themselves, not only is it cleanup duty, but it's cleanup duty at night. It's not an avoda. So most Kohanim are going to turn over in their bed. And they're going to be like, okay, wake me up in an hour. All right, let me get another hour of sleep. So, and they're just simply not going to arrive. And therefore, imagine now if they set up a lottery system. So if you set up a lottery system, so let me get this straight. I'm going to wake up 4 a.m. to get there at the foot of the ramp. Maybe I'll go up and maybe I'll take a shovel full of ash. You know what? Pass. That's what the Chachamim thought. That's why the Chachamim thought. So you know what? Up for grabs, right? Generally speaking, you know, anytime you had a situation for up for grabs, probably the last time you had it was somewhere in your childhood, somewhere in school. But anytime it's up for grabs, it's because you don't want it. Okay, up for grabs. So the Gemara says, good. Kevin de Chazda de Ka'asu, Vasil de Sakana, Tekin Le Paisa. But then the Chachamim saw, hey, you know what? Kohanim were into it, meaning they were wrong. They thought that the Kohanim wouldn't show up. Kohanim showed up. Not only did they show up, but they pushed each other off a ramp in order to get the job. Okay, so now they moved to the lottery system. Seemingly, yeah. Seemingly right before? That's what it seems like. The burning of the fats and the limbs of the karbanos. That's done at night, and there was a lottery for that. Meaning if the thought process of the Chachamim is that anything at night, the Kohanim don't particularly care for, so why they originally institute a lottery for the burning of the fats and the limbs. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's a night of Oda, but that's really the conclusion of the day of Oda. Meaning in their mind, they're able to think, well, this is really something that was primarily done during the day. And yes, the burning of the limbs and the fats are a night, but really conclusion of a day of Oda. So again, in their head, it, you know, moved up a couple of levels in terms of Avoda. So Hainami Tchilas Avoda is the Yamamahi. So the Gemara says, okay, well, in that line of thinking, the Trumas HaDeshen is really similar. Because really what it is that's the beginning of the morning of Oda. In fact, I'll prove that to you halachically. Let's say, Cohen, you wash your hands and your feet for the Trumas HaDeshen. So now, it's pre-dawn, right? I mean, the morning didn't start yet. If let's say you stayed up and you continue doing the Avoda, do you have to wash your hands and feet again? And the answer is, according to Rav Yochanan, no, you don't have to wash your hands and feet again. That Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim that you did for the Trumas HaDeshen, that'll be good for the rest of the day. So it's just a halachic proof that the Trumas HaDeshen really is part of the day of Oda. So the Gemara says, Ema Shekvar Kiddush Mitchila Li Avoda. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not buying into the halachic proof. Because what it could be is that you're washing your hands not for the Trumas HaDeshen, but Li Avoda, you're washing it for the Avoda. You are washing it, in fact, early in the morning, but pre-dawn, but you're doing it li avoda. And so the Gemara says that I'm not really buying into that halachic proof. Iga d'amre, in a slightly different version of making a distinction between the burning of the fats and the limb versus the waking up early for the Trumas HaDeshen, mikara sever kevin de ika one shena lo asu kevin de chazad asu v'kasu namely de sakana takin lo rabbanan paisa. So in a slightly version, a different version of this discussion, so it's the Gemara says what I would have said, meaning it's right, it's Balabatish, and that is that, look, you wake up early in the waking up early in the morning, who likes waking up early in the morning? Okay, so you're talking about pre-dawn. So what the Chachamim thought originally was, no, come on, we're going to want to wake up early in order to do the Avoda. And then they saw that they did wake up early. So the Gemara, again, now in the second version of the discussion, what about the burning of the fast and the limbs? So that's late at night, and don't come on and want to go to sleep? So the Gemara says, Shani Migna Mimekam. So the Gemara makes a distinction, which again is really intuitive, and that is that, look, you want to stay up late? People love staying up late, right? Who doesn't want to stay up late? Well, the answer really is me, but as far as generally speaking is concerned, if it's a choice of staying up late or waking up early in the morning, so people could stay up late. They can delay their bedtime for an hour or two, but in terms of waking up morning, meaning once they're already asleep, so obviously it's different. So, okay, so I should have made a harder pause over there. So basically, two different versions, but it comes out now that the thought process of the Chachamim is they didn't expect any kind of crowd to come out in the early morning to do the Trumas Hadeshen. That's why originally they didn't have a pious, and so that's why they made it up for grabs, right? Version number one, version number two, right? Very similar to one another. Basically, the Chachamim thought, right, the Kohanim are not coming. But then they saw the Kohanim did come. Not only did they see that, but they saw that they were ready to push each other in order to get the job. Okay, good. So from that point going forward, so they established a lottery. Good. Now the Gemara is bothered by the fact, v'tekantala haki sahavai, tekantala haki sahavai. So the Gemara says, now, it sounds like the tekana is going in one direction, from non-lottery to lottery. The Gemara says, I thought it went the other way. What does that mean? D'tanya. So the Gemara says, I'll clarify. Misha zacha b'shumas hadeshen. So zacha b'sidur maracha uvishnek zire eitzim. So the Kohen, who was awarded the job of doing shumas hadeshen, so he got bonuses. Well, what bonuses did he get? So you can now arrange the bonfire on the top of the mizbech. You can take the two new logs of wood and put it up onto the mizbech as well. Two new logs of wood are added to the top of the mizbech every day as fuel for the fire. That's zire eitzim. And on top of that, also sidur maracha, just simply arranging the bonfire. So basically, as like a bonus, he got extra avodas. Now, over there, what's the point of that? So clearly the point of that is incentivizing. Meaning if all we're talking about is Trumas Hadeshen, like I mentioned earlier, so Trumas Hadeshen is not particularly exciting. You're taking a shovel full of ash and you're bringing it down. Now it is exciting, but please don't misunderstand. It is exciting. It's part and parcel of the avodas based on Mikdash. But in terms of relatively speaking, okay, it's not the shechting of a carbon. It's not the burning of a carbon. It's not the zrikas adam. Okay. So it's not particularly exciting. So what the Chachamim basically had to do is they had to pad it up. So they basically said, okay, you know what? Trumas Hadeshen is not that exciting. But here's what you're going to get. In addition to the Trumas Hadeshen, you're also going to get, and they added to that the Gzira Eitzim and the Sidur Maracha. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. You're telling me that the Kohanim were excited. I'm just going to argue in the other direction. They weren't excited, which is why you needed the bonus of votes to be presented to the winner in order to incentivize and entice. So I'm a Ravashi Shtei Takanos Havai. So Ravashi says, okay, when all said and done here, what we're going to do now is we're going to put together the larger picture, which is me karasavar loase kevin dechazet kasevasi nami le desekana tekin le paisa kevin de tekin le paisa loase. So ami miyema de misrami lach. So the Gemara says, basically, here's what happened. What happened was is that originally they threw it up for grabs because no one's going to come. And then when they looked around, they saw, oh, no, people came. And again, not only did they come, but they were pushing each other off the ramp. Okay, lottery. Once they went to lottery, so then the Kohanim said, you know what? No, thank you. And they didn't come. And then, Hadu Takinale Mashi Misha Zicha B'chumas Hadeshen, Yizke B'sidah Maracha Uvishnek Zire Eitzim Kehechi Denaiso V'nifaiso. So basically, you had to adjust, right? It's like a thermostat. So you basically, they need an adjustment. So when they transitioned over to the lottery, so then nobody would come because I'm going to wake up early and maybe I'm going to win? No, if I'm going to wake up early, so I want the job. So then nobody came. And once they saw nobody come, so then they gave a couple of bonus avodas out there together with the Trumas Hadeshen. And then, okay, now we adjusted it to the point where we got a handful of Kohanim coming out every morning, and we incentivize them a little bit more. So even though there's a lottery, and even though there's a chance they're not going to win, but at least we made it lucrative enough so that the winner is going to so that there will still be Kohanim coming out there. All right, wonderful. That took us through the first half of the daf, and basically the thought process of the Chachamim that went behind why establish a lottery for the Trumas Hadeshen. Okay, next part of the Gemara, we're on the bottom of Chav Beis Amad Aleph, and over here, just a really short discussion of where the finish line is. The Mishnah is not that clear. Now, without the Mishnah, here's what you could have said simply, and here's what I would have said simply. The finish line is the very top of the ramp. However, the Mishnah did confuse us a little bit, because the Mishnah is talking about four amos. What is that? So the Gemara discusses it very briefly. So I know that the finish line is not on the ground because just read the Mishnah. Ratzin va'olim bekevish. They're going up the ramp to none. So kamaisi nami lo. Now what about at the foot of the ramp? So the Gemara says that's also no. Ratzin va'olim bekevish. Because again, read the Mishnah. They're running up the ramp. So Tanan Vahada Kolakodem is Chaveru, and then it talks about there being a winner. So now here's where I know. I know it's not on the ground, I know it's not even at the foot of the ramp. So where's the finish line? Now Debeni Bini Namilo, somewhere in the middle of the ramp, the Gemara says no, Delama Saima Milsa. Because that's a non-specific area, and it's hard to imagine that we're just gonna put a finish line somewhere randomly in the middle of the ramp. So again, no. So Pshita Li Degabe Mizbeach Tanan. So I know that when the Mishnah is talking about four amos, I know it's talking about four amos from the top of the ramp. Now, if I can add, by the way, but this is a guess on my part, so take it with a grain of salt. Why don't you just simply make the finish line the top of the ramp? So if I had a guess, I'm just going to give a pragmatic explanation, is because the top of the ramp is right before the fire. So we talked about Kohanim pushing each other off the side. So if basically you can't decelerate as you got to the very top of the ramp, so then what you have to look forward to is basically a face full of fire. Okay, so the finish line is now going to be four amos from the top of the ramp. So Rav Papa says, good. So that's my deduction. But Rav Papa says, now that I'm here, but I still am a little bit unclear. So by Rav Papa, Arba Amos Amru Behadei Ami Yisrael Ve'Amos Elveiv, Odilma Bar Me Ami Yisrael Ve'Amos Elveiv Teiku. So the last question of Rav Papa, which he leaves unresolved, is basically there are two amos on the very top of the ramp. Now, what are these two amos? So as you know, and if you have a picture, it's very helpful over here, but basically what happens is that the ramp goes to the top of the Mizbech, obviously, but as far as the way the Mizbech is constructed, it's the foundation over another foundation over another one. So basically what happens is that you're going interior to the Mizbech two times. One amma each time for the yisod, you're going one amma interior, and then another time, there's another ledge, a sovev, which also goes another amma interior. So the truth of the matter is that the top of the ramp is now going to be encroaching into the mizbech by two ammas. Okay. So when we're talking about the finish line, are we talking about the finish line of four ammas to the very end of the top of the ramp? Or are we talking about four ammas short two ammas of the very top? Because basically it's from where the ramp hits the ground and then where to draw a straight plumb line going upwards. So that is where the finish line is, or four amma short of that. Okay, so it's basically a two amma differential in terms of where Rav Papa is unsure as to where the finish line is. Okay, it is an interesting discussion. On the other hand, it's also a historical discussion, meaning it's not halach l'maisa. Why Rav Papa, right, really is digging deep into the where the finish line is. It's not totally unclear. Right, elsewhere the Gemara asked the question, "My dahava hava?" Okay, this is Hilchus de Meshicha. Okay, but still, it has Rava's attention. Okay, the Gemara continues. We're on the very top of Chav Beis Amud Beis. V'imayushneim shavim hamemuna amar lem hitzbiu tana hutzios boseim leminyan. So they took out their fingers and they're counting the fingers. And again, according to Rashi, for every Kohen, you count them once. Even if you stick out two fingers, you still count them once. So the Gemara now is going to be focusing on the following. We're counting Kohanim, right? V'nimninu lididu. Why do you stick out a finger if all you're going to be doing anyway is counting a Kohen? So count the Kohen, right? And according to Rashi, by the way, the question is really good. Because according to Rashi, it doesn't matter if you stick out one finger or two fingers. You're counting a Kohen. So if what we're trying to do is count a Kohen, so just simply count the Kohen. And why are we counting fingers? So you know the answer, and here the Gemara formally states the answer. So v'nininu lididhu. Why not count the Kohanim themselves? Mesaila the Rabbi Yitzchak, Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, Asum Lemnos Es Yisrael, Afilu Dvar Mitzvah. So you're not allowed to count Jewish people, even if it's for Dvar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to count Jewish people. It's an Isser to count people. So, Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Vayifkadim Bebezek. Now, it's certainly interesting, by the way, that the Gemara over here, in terms of citing the source of how we know you're not allowed to count Jews, so the Gemara runs to Nevi'im, right? We're right now in Shmuel Aleph. So why do we count? Why is the source of the Gemara over here pasuk and navi, meaning kisisas bnei Yisrael lefkudehem venasnu? And the Torah says very clearly that as far as the census was concerned, so each one gives the machzis a shekel, and that's how we're counting the Jewish people. It's a pasuk and chumash. Okay, now my question. It's an older question asked. Rishonim don't ask it, but anyway. But the fine. So. Not for now, but anyway. So the but we have a pasuk and navi. Vayif kedem bebezek. Now, when Shaul is counting the Jewish people, so Shaul is counting them, and he's using shards of pottery to count them. Each one is making a contribution of a shard, and then what they're going to do is count the total number of shards. So maskal ravashi mi mai dahi bezek lishon demivzeku v'dimoshema demasahu. So the Gemara over here says, you know, when it says vayif kedem bebezek, so another interpretation of the pasuk could have very well been that we're counting them in a place called Bezek. That could be the pshat in the pasuk. Kidichsi vayimsu adoni Bezek. We know there's a place called Bezek. So elamehacha. So the Gemara says, okay. So we're just going to look for another source that's going to be somewhat more foolproof, and that is vayishma shol sam vayifkadem betulayim. So this is now a couple prakim later in Shmuel Aleph, and this is before Shaul goes to war against Amalek, and he says now he's counting the Jewish people and he's using sheep in order to count the Jewish people. Okay, so Amar Rebbe Elazar kol Amonos Yisrael over Belav. Gemara over here talks about the severity of counting the Jewish people. So the Torah does not want you to do so. So what are you violating when you count the Jewish people if you take a census? So according to Rebbe Elazar, so you're in violation of Belav. Shenemar, the pasuk says, V'ayam is Parbenei Yisrael kechol ayam asher lo yimad. So you're not allowed to count it. Now, when the Gemara here says lav and then quotes the pasuk in Hosea in order to cite its source, so is this a bona fide issur d'oraisa we're talking about over here? Is it an issur d'rabbanan bolstered by a pasuk in Navi? I'm unsure, but okay, you don't have a beferish pasuk in Chumash, even though I know I whispered earlier, just a couple minutes earlier, it seems like we do, but leave out the parsha of Kisisa. Anyway, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar over b'shnei lavim. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says one's in violation of two lavim in the Torah. Shenemar lo yimav lo yisaper. And again, I say it's an issur d'oraisa. I'm not sure about that. Again, the pasuk that we quote is the pasuk in Hosea. Anyway, it's lo yimad v'lo yisaper. Okay, two lavim. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rav Yonasan Rami Ksiv. Vayar misbar b'nei Yisrael kecholayam. So on one hand, the Torah says, the Navi says, that the Jewish people are going to be like cholayam, something which is countable. Uksiv asher lo yimad v'lo yisaper. And then it says it's not countable. So, which one is it? So, lokasha, kamez man sheisol, osim ritzono shel makom, kamez man she'ein, osim ritzono shel makom. So, the Gemara says, whether we're measurable or immeasurable is really a function of whether or not we're compliant. If we're compliant, we become immeasurable. If we're non-compliant, so then, we're limited and measurable. Rebbe Omer Mishum Abba Yosi Ben Dustar Lokasha, kam bidei Adam, kam bidei Shemaim. Or another way to resolve the discrepancy is that bide adam, we're immeasurable, meaning there are too many of us, we can't count. But a Kadosh Baruch Hu can count. That's another way to resolve whether or not we are measurable or immeasurable. Okay. Amar Rav Nilai bar Idi Amar Shmuel Kevin Shin Nisnamne Adam Parnas al Tzibor Mitasher. So becoming a leader, so you're going to become wealthy. Now we're not going to take the cynical view of how you become wealthy when you become a leader, right? You noticed, right? Every representative, every senator, it's amazing. God bless them. The Gemara is assuming over here that there's a certain zechus that you get. In other words, you become a leader of the community. It's not easy to become a leader of a community, and it's right. It takes a lot out of you, but you are going to become wealthy. And the Gemara says, and I have a proof to this. So meikar k'siv vayif kedem bebezek levesof k'siv vayif kedem betulayim. So you'll notice that there were two censuses that we just noted by Shaul HaMelech. So the first time he took the census, he counted them with earthenware, shards of earthenware. Okay. The next time he counted them, so he counted them with sheep. And the Gemara is assuming right now, not their sheep, his sheep. Okay, so he becomes a king and he becomes wealthy. So the Gemara says, V'dimla mi didu. So the Gemara says, okay, but you didn't have to say that pshat. The pshat you could have said is that each one is going to contribute a sheep in order to be counted. So imkein my rebusa demil. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then the Navi's not teaching us anything. And the Gemara says, I can't imagine. Meaning the point of Navi is that we learn. So if the Navi's telling us that they counted with sheep, so lesson learned is that when you become a partner, you're going to become wealthy. Okay. So here we are by Shaul. So for the rest of today's daf, we're going to go over a number of divrei agadata as it relates to Shaul. Okay. I'd say it is really enjoyable Gemara, but on the other hand, however, some really sad lessons to learn over here. But nevertheless, for today, good part of tomorrow as well. So a lot of agadata coming up. Vayirev Banachal. So we're here by Shaul, and we're by the beginning of the war against Amalek and Vayirev Banachal. They're fighting in the valley. But the Gemara says, you don't have to say that pshat. In fact, the Gemara over here offers a different pshat. So we hear this a couple times in Shas, and this being one of them. Amar Rabbi Mani al Iskei Nachal. So what was bothering Shaul over here is Vayirev Banachal, the Nachal was bothering him. Meaning, the halacha in the Torah that involves a Nachal. And that, of course, is the halacha of the Agla Rufa. So we know that if you have a person who Rachmanis was killed, murdered, somewhere outside of a city, actually it's between two cities. So what we're going to do is that we're going to go through a procedure in order to determine which of the cities is closer in proximity. And that city is going to take a certain amount of the responsibility. The Zikanim of the city are going to come out. We're all familiar, right? That's the process of the Agla Rufa. So it's brought down at the end of Parsha Shoftim. Okay. So now Shaul had a lot of philosophical questions. For the murder of one person, the Torah says, look, we have to be extraordinarily sensitive for the murder of one person. And so now what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? To kill out an entire nation? Okay, bothered him. So, So the instructions were very clear, and that is wipe out Amalek. So, Amar Uman Nefesh Echas Amar Torah. So, Haba Egla, Havei Egla Rufa. So, Kol Nefashos Alachas Kama Vekama. So, for the death of one person, we're going to go through this whole procedure. And now, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to wipe out an entire nation? Bothered him. And Vim Adam Echet Behema Machata. And what do you want to tell me? That the Amalekim, so they were Chotim. But I have to wipe out the animals as well. What do the animals do? Okay. That bothered him as well. Vim Gedolim Chatu Ketanim Machatu. And the adults, okay, I can understand, but the kids, what do the kids do? Okay. So Yatza Baskal Vamra Altihit Sadiq Harbe. So the Baskal comes out and says to Shaul, okay, now you're being too much of a tzaddik. Meaning it's very simple. I know it's not easy, but that's exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling Shaul. It's really simple. And that is, it's a tzivui. And don't be too much of a tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that one of the mitzvahs in the Torah is to wipe out a malik. That's it. You do it. And to put in your own feelings and your own philosophical questions into the discussion, okay, that's simply not right. And now later when Shaul now gives instructions, okay, wipe out the entire city of Nov, or the Kohanim who were living in the city of Nov. So what they did is that they helped David HaMelech. David HaMelech was on the run. And so he hid out in the city of Nov, and they gave him food and provision. And so when Shaul caught wind of this, so he went into the city of Nov and he wiped them out. So Yatzabaskova Amra al Tarshe Harbe. And so same pasuk in Kohelas. And okay, Shaul, now you're Tarshia. Now, right? You're going in the exact opposite direction that you went earlier. Earlier, you got soft, you had a lot of Rachmanis, too much Rachmanis. And now you're going in the other direction. And Amar Rav Huna. Okay. Obviously much discussed over here, right? I'll just make one brief comment. And that is obviously that as far as the Ratzon HaTorah is concerned, if we try to outthink the room, so we're never going to be successful. Meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously has a plan. And the plan may seem at times to be, it seems to be rough and merciless, but just the opposite. Meaning, a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a divine plan, and we follow the plan as per instructed. And once we start inserting our own philosophies and our own thinking behind it, So eventually we're the ones who become distorted and corrupted. It's right. And Shaul is just a perfect illustration of that. Anyway, let's continue the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Kam lo chali v'lo margish gavra demaya siyah. So, basically siyata dishmaya. Right? And I know it's going to sound strange the way it comes out of my mouth, but I'm going to read the Rashi because it's really strange. But if you have siyata dishmaya, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu likes you, you're in good shape. Okay. Okay. Like I said, I know it sounds strange. Rashi, I mean, it's going to be the Gemara's point, by the way. So the, but Rashi writes it really clearly. I'm going to read the Rashi. I'm even going to put my glasses on. So, Kamalo, Lochal of Lamagish Gavra, Damari CIA. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in assistance of that individual. So, Kama Smoch Umuftach, the Ein Sarech, Litlos, Lidog. If you have Siyata Deshma, you got nothing to worry about. Mikol Ra'a. Misha Kadosh Baruch Hu Be'ezro. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is in your corner, you're good. Sha'are Matzina Sha'ol, Nichsha Ba'achas, the Altalo Ra'a Lakon So. Now, Shaul, again, I feel bad saying it, but it's the point of the Gemara. Shaul, who was not a fan favorite, so one time he slipped up, and that's it. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, you're done. And meanwhile, Lekonso Misa, Levatal Machus, V'David Nechshal B'Shtayim. Now, David made two serious infractions. Now, we're going to go over more than two. But the point of the Gemara is that David made two serious infractions. V'lo Altal L'Ra. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? We're good. Let it slide. Okay, so David has siyata dishmaya. Now, to the larger question of why did David have that kind of siyata dishmaya, and why did Shaul not have that siyata dishmaya? So that part is a little bit trickier for me to explain. Okay, but anyway, it's certainly the point of the Gemara, and let's spell this out. Meaning, and we're going to go through now. The Gemara for the rest of today's daf is going to detail what did Shaul do, what did David do, what's one, what's two. So the details are coming up. So Shaul ba'achas ma'hi, so ma'isa da'agag. So as far as Shaul is concerned, so his serious infraction is he didn't kill all the Amalekim. Now the Gemara over here is focusing on the fact that he didn't kill Agag. In the Milchama against Amalek, there were other things that he didn't do. He didn't kill the animals, as per instruction. Okay, so, but anyway, but he let the king live. So va'ha'ika ma'isa denov, ira kohanim. Now, he did wipe out an entire city of Kohanim. So the Gemara says, so why are we counting only as one serious infraction? So the Gemara says, "Amaisa da'agag siv ichamti kimlachti es Shaul lamelech." So the Gemara says, "I'll tell you why, because we know already that after his failure to destroy the entirety of Amalek, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, we're done.' Meaning, okay, he made more mistakes afterwards, but in terms of a Kadosh Baruch Hu calling him out and removing the melucha from him, so that already occurred after the first infraction. Now David b'shtayim my new. Now as far as David is concerned, so what's his two infractions? So de Uriya u de Hasasa. So the Gemara says that he took Uriah and he basically put Uriah in the front line in order to be killed. And also he counted the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Vaika Nami Maisa de Batsheva. So the Gemara says, what about Batsheva? Now it's funny, I would have said that Batsheva is part and parcel of Uriah. The Gemara clearly over here doesn't look at it that way. Meaning Uriah and Batsheva are two separate infractions. That's how the Gemara right now is keeping count. Well, if that's true, well, it comes down now that there's more than two, there are actually three. So Hasam Ifru Mene Dichsiv. The Gemara says no, because we're talking about the things that Akash Baruch Hu let slide, and Akash Baruch Hu did not let David's involvement with Batsheva. He didn't let it slide. In fact, David was punished. He himself Dichsiv Esakivsai Shalem Arba Asayim. So the Gemara says that remember the mushroom that was given to him after the episode with Batsheva. So, right, there was a poor person who had a sheep, it was his only sheep, and somebody comes along and takes that only sheep. So basically, in the mashal, David was accused of stealing a sheep, right? B'derech ha-mashal. Now, we know the halacha is that when you steal a sheep, right, and truth of the matter is that it's not when you steal a sheep, it's when you steal a sheep, and then either you shecht it or you sell it, but whatever the case is. So we know that the punishment comes four times the amount. Okay, so the Gemara says that because the mushal that was given to him was the theft of a sheep, so the punishment now is going to come fourfold to David. So, and they are. And the Gemara just simply rattles it off. Yeled Amnon Tamar Avshalom. So Yeled, the first child that David and Batsheva were supposed to have, so Rachmanis, the child died. Amnon died, one of the sons of David died. Tamar, so Tamar was raped by her brother. In fact, the brother was Amnon. And number four was Avshalom, and Avshalom, of course, started a rebellion, and he also died. So the Gemara says, Hasam nami ifru mine dechsiv vayiten Hashem dever. Va'ad eis moed, right? So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. After David counted the Jewish people, so they also suffered punishment. So you're talking about two sins where Akash Baruch Hu let it go. What are you talking about? Akash Baruch Hu didn't let the second sin go, right? David counted the Jewish people, and then the Jewish people were suffering dever. So Hasam lo ifru megufe. Hasam lo ifru megufe. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the dever did not, David didn't suffer personally with his own body. In other words, the plague that afflicted the people. So that was all the people. And we're talking about the kinds of punishments that David had to suffer himself. The Gemara says, Hasam nami lo ifru megufe. So the Gemara says, okay, but we'll go over the four punishments. Those weren't punishments that directly affected the body of David HaMelech, right? His children died, that's true, but that wasn't a personal affliction. And if you're telling me that the only things that Kadosh Baruch Hu will let slide are those things that are not personal afflictions, so those aren't also personal afflictions. So lahai ifru emigufe. The Gemara says, yeah, but the truth of the matter is that no, David was personally afflicted. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Shisha Chadashim Nistar David Parsha Emenes Sanhedrin V'Nistako Emenes Shechina. So the Gemara says no. After the episode with Bathsheba, so David Melch suffered 6 months of tzaras, and the Sanhedrin separated from him, and the Shechina separated from him. D'Yechsiv Yeshuvali Yireecha V'Yodei Dosecha. So we see a couple of Pesukim in Tehillim that talk about that David Melch was pleading, please come back. Well, what does that mean? Please come back. It's because the Sanhedrin left him. It's because the Shechina left him. Okay, so David was afflicted personally after the episode with Bathsheba. So that's why it's not counted as the two major infractions that Akash Baruch Hu let slide. So far, the two major infractions of David that Akash Baruch Hu let slide and did not take out personal retribution against David is the episode with Uriah and the episode with the census. Amar Rav Kibal David Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, okay, sorry. Veha Amar Rav Kibal David Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, what about the fact that David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara, which would seemingly be a serious infraction? So the Gemara says, Kishmol Damar Lo Kibal David Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that point is up for debate as to whether or not David HaMelech accepted Lashon Hara regarding Mephibosheth. Meaning Tziva went and gave a report regarding Mephibosheth. And we certainly know that he gave the report. Did David HaMelech accept the Lashon Hara or did not accept the Lashon Hara? Right? It's a kind of Isser where that's only a Kadosh Baruch Hu will know. Meaning he heard the Lashon Hara, but did he accept the Lashon Hara? So the Gemara says, Ularav Nami Damar Kiba David Lashon Hara Ha Yifrei Minei. The Gemara says, and even if I'm going to go with Rav's viewpoint, that David HaMelech was Mekabel Lashon Hara, but David HaMelech had to pay for it. So David says to Mephibosheth, you know all that property that I said is going to go to you, it's not going to all go to you. In fact, as part of his trust, so he said it's going to be divided between you and Siva. Now it's pretty clear, in other words, that and this is a really good proof for Rav. That whatever Tziva reported regarding Mephibosheth, so David was ready to hear it because he didn't give the entire property over to Mephibosheth. He divided between Tziva and Mephibosheth. Anyway, as retribution, what happens? So Yatsa Baskol v'Amra Lo Rechav Miyavam Yechalkos Amachos. Oh, you divided the land between Tziva and Mephibosheth. So I'm telling you what's going to happen to you. What's going to happen to you is that your kingdom is going to be divided between your grandson Rechavam and Yeravam. So the chalukah, the division of the 10 shvatim from Yehuda and Yamin is all because of David's division of the land between Mephibosheth and Siva. It's a little bit strange because remember in the context of the Gemara, we're trying to explain those things that David suffered personally. In other words, it's sari degufe. And so over here, we're talking about the division of the Jewish people that is occurring two generations later. And we're calling that, sorry, degufe, we're calling that a personal retribution against David HaMelech. I mean, that is what the Gemara is saying. Just, it needs a little more explanation. Okay, let's just do a little bit more this morning. Ben Shana Shaul b'Malko, Shaul was 1 year old when he took office. All right, not to be understood literally, and the Gemara goes on to explain it. Again, the general theme of the second half of today's daf is various psukim that we have drushes for regarding Shaul. So Amar Rav Huna ki ben shana shlo tam tam chet. So no. So it means that he was like a 1 year old, meaning that he was sin free, like a 1 year old. So the Gemara says Maskel Rav Nachma Yitzchak veima ki ben shana shemaluchlach betit uvitzawa. I could go in the other direction. I could say, you know, a one-year-old is filthy. And maybe that's what the Navi's trying to describe regarding Shaul. So, ach vele Rav Nachman, siyuta bechame. So now Rav Nachman made that suggestion. And it is a harsh way to speak about Shaul HaMelech. And when Rav Nachman made that suggestion, so he was afflicted with nightmares. So, Amar ne'nesi lachem atma Shaul ben Kish. And so he understood, meaning that he had something negative to say, an unnecessarily negative thing to say about Shaul, meaning him not destroying Amalek. That's Pesukim and Navi. Okay, so you know we could repeat that. In fact, when we repeat it, we're learning Navi. So, but to make a harsh statement that's unnecessary. So Rav Nachman understood, and that's why he was suffering these terrible nightmares. And so he said, "Nasi," he's begging forgiveness. So Hadar Chazas Yuta Bechame. A second nightmare. And so really, he realized that his apology was no good. He needed to apologize again, and even better. Amar, ne'nezi lechem atmo Shaul ben Kish melech Yisrael. Okay, so he had to attach, you were the king. Okay. So, and apparently that's the end of the story. So apparently that apology worked out. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay, let's quickly recap. So today we started the Payasos. The lotteries that were done in the Beis HaMikdash in order to determine which Kohanim are going to be doing which Avodas. As far as the lotteries are concerned, so they're going to be four in total. That's what our Perek is going to be dealing with. And this morning we did the first Mishnah, which covered the first lottery. There is a major machlokus amongst the Rishonim. I quoted the Baal Maor and I referenced the Milchamos. A major machlokus. Is this lottery also done on the morning of Yom Kippur? Or is the Mishnayos over here just describing the rest of the year? So the Baal Maor writes really clearly, rest of the year, not Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol is doing the Trumas Hadeshen, and he's doing all the Avodas. And as I mentioned, the beginning of Shir today, it's a major debate. As far as the procedure, the protocol of the lottery, so why did the Chachamim institute a lottery? And why did they not originally institute a lottery for the Trumas Hadeshen? So in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, we went through the back and forth in terms of what was the original thought process, what was the end result, and why did they institute a lottery? And then we also explained that not only did they institute a lottery, but for the Trumas Hadeshen, a couple of bonus voters that were added to the Trumas Hadeshen as well. The Gemara quickly discussed the finish line of the race that went up the ramp, four amos before he got to the end of the ramp. Okay, and Rapapa was two, it might have been two amos short of that. Okay, and then the second half of today's daf, was talking about the issue of counting. You're not allowed to count Jewish people. We have Pesukim and Navi that say you're not allowed to count Jewish people. And that's why when we're counting the Kohanim, we're counting their fingers and we're not counting their bodies, right? Counting the fingers is obviously not a violation. Okay. I'm not totally clear why fingers are better than the body, but it's that part is clear that there's a difference between fingers and bodies. Okay. And then we went through the Pesukim, the various Pesukim that talked about not counting. And then, the Gemara, as long as we got there, so we noticed that Shaul did two counts. The first time he counted with shards of pottery. Second time he counted with sheep, it's because he got wealthy. And when you become a leader, you get wealthy. And once the Gemara got on to a couple of points regarding Shaul, so the Gemara did not stop there. The Gemara went on to describe other divrei agadita hashkafa that we learned out from Shaul HaMelech. And that finished up our daf today.